As we've talked about often here on Issues and Ideas, autism is a health concern and frustration for a variety of reasons. Those concerns and frustrations are magnified here in New Jersey because how the state autism rate is significantly higher than the national rate. And what autism does, well, that's known. Why it does what it does, that's not so well known. And that's a large part of the frustration both parents and medical experts experience. And my next guest exists in both of those worlds. She's here today to give her analysis of new research which claims that autism can be prevented in a natural way, while being the founder of Autism Health and author of the book The Unprescription for Autism, A Natural Approach for a Calmer, Happier, More Focused Child. She is an autism child parent, Dr. Janet Lintela. Thank you for being here today, Doctor.
Thank you for having me.
And the good doctor's website, loveautismhealth.com. And I want to have you here because it's a study that was done by researchers at the Queensland Brain Institute. They had an analysis of 4,000 blood samples from pregnant women and their children, and they found that those who were deficient in vitamin D had significantly higher scores on autism scales than those who had adequate vitamin D levels. So, as I said in the intro, Doctor, it was always one of the, big mysteries of autism is it something medical? Is it something organic? Is it something emotional, physical? Does this lead into some sort of insight that maybe it is something of organic nature which can be addressed naturally instead of over-medicating?
Yes, I think it is. And, we're realizing now that there is no single autism gene. There's about 1,000 genes associated with autism. And it's turning out those are spread out equally among the population. Everyone, even non-autistic people, have these same genes. So why do some people have autism and some not? And I don't know that vitamin D is the only thing that's linked to it. But, there are several studies linking it, and we're going to have to look at, our lifestyles, our environment, what we're doing to trigger these genes. And vitamin D seems to be one piece of that puzzle.
Now, I should underscore that this is even though a completed study, it's a preliminary study. They want to see if this can be replicated as opposed to hopefully this is not some sort of anomaly just based upon the 4,000 samples they took that they could maybe get a whole different result than other 4,000 different samples. So if they see this as a consistent theme or a consistent result, that's going to quite frankly change a lot of how autism is looked at as far as the research is concerned, I would imagine.
Sure, and it's not the first study linking low vitamin D levels in pregnancy to the increased risk of autism. And so there already, for a couple years now, have been calls to supplement vitamin D during pregnancy, and it's an easy thing to do. Vitamin D is very safe. Actually, it's not really a vitamin. It behaves more like a hormone, which explains why it's so involved in brain health and brain development. But I want to point out, especially to any pregnant listeners, that there are multiple forms of vitamin D, and the prescription form is vitamin D2, and that's the most inactive form. I don't know why it's in the prescription form. And you'll end up taking tens of thousands of units of it, like they'll give you 50,000 or 100,000 units, and really you want the vitamin D3 form, our sunshine form, the active form, and you need very little of that. It's over the counter at your local health food store, no doubt. So vitamin D3, 2 to 5,000 units a day. I would take it before conception, like for women who are considering getting pregnant. They think it's best to even start before pregnancy. And you're not going to harm yourself with such a low level of vitamin D3. And I just think it's a great idea that we need to start doing.
Well, for a woman, is vitamin D3 strong in calcium as well, which is certainly something as a woman gets older, it's certainly beneficial to be ahead of the run as far as calcium is concerned, as opposed to allow a deficiency to develop.
Sure. And I don't advocate huge mega doses of anything, but calcium is always a good thing to take. And, a pregnant woman is supplying her own nutritional needs as well as that of a developing baby. So I wouldn't take mega doses of anything, but, vitamin D is involved, as is calcium, in bone health. Vitamin D is involved in immune health, mood, neurological health. I just think it's a great thing to take.
So Dr. Janet Lintela, who is the founder of Autism Health, she's author of the book, The Unprescription for Autism, A Natural Approach for a Calmer, Happier, More Focused Child. LoveAutismHealth.com is her website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And as the title of your book clues someone in who has yet to read it. Hopefully, if you are a parent, and certainly a parent with an autistic child, you'll go over to Amazon after we're done here and get a copy of The Emperor's Prescription for Autism. You seem to be a proponent of natural looking at things with autism and the autism spectrum disorders naturally, as opposed to prescription medicine.
Well, I am, and I do like to point out, I didn't write the anti-prescription. I'm not against prescription drugs, but they are often used as a first pass when we take our autistic child to the doctor. We go in, these children have health issues associated with autism. They can't sleep. We're handed a sleeping pill. They are very constipated, a lot of them. We're handed a laxative and told to put our children on a long-term laxative. And these underlying invisible health issues like GI dysfunction, acid reflux, constipation, cause a lot of behaviors, irritability and aggression. And then our children are given antipsychotics. Meanwhile, the health issues are ignored and continue to grow and cause more behavior. And we get into this vicious cycle of, well, the medicine seemed to help, and now we have to increase the dose. So really, I didn't write the anti-prescription. I'm just advocating for the appropriate use of medication. And then I like to look at the research. The research is not showing they need medication. It's showing, hey, half of them don't make enough digestive enzymes. They never have enough beneficial bacteria. And that's what settles down those GI problems. And then they begin to sleep better and they behave better. And, you know, Chris, I don't want to come across as anti-medicine. It's a good tool to have in the toolbox. It just shouldn't be the first thing we reach for.
And certainly not to an extreme as opposed to, well, you know, let's flip that around a little bit, too. Is there a disservice by the medical profession to make a parent with an autistic spectrum disorder child believe that, well, we can get Johnny back to a regular, normal, healthy life, and he'll be part of the crowd and out there playing kickball all day, where that is the catalyst for this over-medication that we see in some cases, as opposed to being realistic and saying, well, here's the hopefully the best we can do. If we get to that point, we'll try something further.
Well, I wish they would do more of that. I think they just, it's sort of a knee-jerk reaction, and I'm not blaming doctors. Our medical system is set up that they have to do very short office visits. And, you know, we come in, we say, my child can't sleep and can't poop and can't behave. And they go, here, I can help you. I have these great tools. So I try not to really blame doctors. It takes a long office visit to track out these health issues. And I think you're going to get your kid playing kickball and happy and healthy and doing better in school if you support vibrant health on the autism spectrum. See, we don't promise people we're going to cure autism or treat it or prevent it, but we say, hey, if your child's healthy and his skill deficits are addressed and he's, you know, really rocking that life on the spectrum, life is much better. Your home can be more peaceful. Your child can be happier. So we're supporting vibrant health, and that's how you're going to get your kid out there playing ball.
I mentioned in the introduction, too, New Jersey's autism rate is significantly higher than the national. The most recent numbers from spring of 2016, the New Jersey rate was 1 in 41, which is about 2.5% of the children in the state, versus the national rate of 1 in 68, which is about, I believe, 1.5% of children in the country. And the New Jersey rate is a 12% increase from 2 years ago when it was 1 in 45. And I've seen studies, too, in New Jersey where they have found higher rates within those higher rates in communities, towns, cities, where the environment through factories or just natural occurrences wasn't the best compared to a rural town in northwest New Jersey, for example. So, again, do we see a greater belief in at least one of the catalysts for autism spectrum disorder to be environment versus physical?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, all of us have these genes, but some of us are getting more autism than others. And I definitely have seen a lot of studies that are tying increased autism risk to living near polluting type industries or even very busy highways with lots of fumes. Here in West Virginia, there are higher rates in communities that are around coal-burning power plants. You know, coal burned into the air releases a lot of toxins. And these affect our genes. And, you know, the environment is increasing everything, not just autism. We have more cancer these days, more diabetes and obesity, more autoimmune diseases, and it is our environment triggering our genes. And then our genes function differently. I'm not saying it's mutating our genes, but it turns genes on and off and gives us many more health issues.
We have our time with Dr. Janet Lintala, who is the founder of Autism Health. LoveAutismHealth.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And just to wrap this segment up, we did address your book, The Unprescription for Autism. Talk about what your goal is and your focus is with Autism Health.
Oh, at Autism Health, our whole goal is supporting vibrant health on the spectrum, and not just, you know, for one visit or two visits. We actually help people build a team. It takes a village and a team. They're going to need certain specialists, like a developmental optometrist or a speech therapist. And then I follow my patients up through their teens and into adulthood, so we like to connect them and make sure they learn to drive if they can or get jobs and support them all the way up through independent living. So it's not just health, but it's a vibrant life on the autism spectrum. And we see some really great outcomes when you use evidence-based methods to understand their health issues and support them properly.
You can find a lot of resources, information, and education at loveautismhealth.com, as well as in Dr. Lintala's book, The Unprescription for Autism, A Natural Approach for a Calmer, Happier, More Focused Child, available through her website, Amazon, whatever your favorite means of getting a book is. And if you are a parent of an autistic child, or if you know someone who is, guide them to this information, the website, as well as Dr. Lintala's book, and you will be providing a great service and a great aid and a great foundation for better days and better times for that child as well. Dr. Janet Lintala, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.